is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Thanks.
I'm coming home.
Hi.
Coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home.
For Christmas! Hi, I'm Brandon. I love classic Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like classic Hallmark Christmas movies.
You said it, friend. I'm Dan, and I despise classic Hallmark Christmas movies. And this is the
Deck the Hallmark Podcast!
I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Oh, yeah. So we did the coming home one, the first one in the intro, and then I did the Daughtry, and you took the Daughtry back to the Puff Daddy one.
Yep.
You just took it right back down the scale. Said, no, we're not done here yet.
You wouldn't.
I'm coming home
to the place where I belong.
Well, your love has always been enough for me.
How did he not win American Idol?
Dude,
that is a shame.
Never forget. I didn't even watch the season. I just heard his first single and went, this guy didn't win.
Who won?
Taylor Hicks that year.
Oh, the Soul Patrol. Thank goodness.
And he beat Catherine McPhee.
Yeah, okay.
And she, okay, but hold on. Wasn't she in the Hallmark
Daughtry,
movie?
She was in, maybe, who knows. She probably needs work, needs a paycheck. Better than Taylor Hicks. Dude, I actually ran into Taylor Hicks the other day. He served me my tots at Sonic.
And no way.
In a good mood, by and large.
He always was a positive guy.
Yeah, he was.
Name me one Taylor Hicks song.
It was.
I will give you all the buddies.
Do I make you proud, I believe, is a Taylor.
Do you make me proud?
Do I make you proud?
How's it go?
I believe. Do I make... I don't know how it goes. I'll look it up. One second.
Do I make you proud? All right. Here's what we're going to do. We are each going to take a turn singing a chorus of a song called "Do I Make You Proud." Then we will.
Do I make you proud? What's the name of the song? You said you give me what?
All the money.
All the money. You heard it. I get all the money.
Okay, so we're each going to sing a chorus of a song called "Do I Make You Proud," and then we're going to play the chorus. And we're going to see which one of us is close.
Okay.
I like this game better, where I read you five Taylor Hicks song titles. One of them's not real, and you have to pick out.
I love it. Okay, do I make you proud?
Oh, that's it for sure. First choice, The Runaround. Second choice, Heaven Knows Best. Third choice, Taking It to the Streets.
That can't be it.
Fourth choice, 7 Mile Breakdown. Fifth choice, Just to Feel That Way.
Okay, it's got to be Taking It to the Streets. There's no way Taylor Hicks is taking anything to the streets.
Taking It to the Streets, your answer?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know what 7 Mile Breakdown means. What else? Run Around?
The Run Around, Heaven Knows Best, Taking It to the Streets, 7 Mile Breakdown, Just to Feel That Way.
I don't know what 7 Mile Breakdown means. I'm going to go with Heaven Knows Best. Because it sounds like the most Taylor Hicks song, so it was a throw-in.
You're right. Yes! It's Heaven Knows Best.
History or history.
He has a song called Taking It to the Streets, and he has a song called Heaven Knows. I just threw Best in there.
Ooh.
I was trying to fool you.
Sure, whatever.
Man, Taking It to the Streets. It's even got the apostrophe after N. Taking It to the Streets.
Man.
Do I make you proud, though? Man.
Huh. 7 Mile Breakdown, huh?
7 Mile Breakdown.
Breaking down for 7 miles?
That was in 2009. That was recently.
Well.
2009?
That's 12 years ago.
In comparison.
When did he win?
I don't know, but all of his stuff is 06.
06, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew it was 06.
No, because that was the year I was going. I watched a lot. As I was I was graduating high school, I was watching a lot of American Idol then.
And you were very passionate about Catherine
McPhee.
All
of his
McPhee.
Stuff is before 2000, is 2009 or earlier, aside from one YouTube video from 2017 called Six Strings and Diamond Rings.
What is he doing? He definitely served you tots.
What's he doing? Like, happy what's his wiki? What's
drinks are half price.
Did you ask him for their old Route 44? Did you give me a big cherry limeade?
Yeah, big boy.
Throw some nerds in there. I hear you do that. What's his wiki say? What's he up to?
Oh, I'll look it up. You just go ahead and vamp.
Guys, we're talking about Coming Home for Christmas 2017. Dana Kummer-Keller, very excited about that. Don't forget, Bramble Fest coming up officially this month because it is September. Very excited about that. If you are in this area of Greenville, South Carolina, we'd love for you to consider joining us. You can find out all that information on the page. And what do we have, Dan?
Taylor Reuben Hicks.
Reuben.
Barube. Born October 7th, 1976.
Reuben.
The fifth season of American Idol winner. He's from Birmingham, Alabama. His genres are blue-eyed soul.
Blue-eyed?
No, you made that up. You made it up, Wiki. Blues rock, country, and pop.
Blue-eyed
soul. Oh, my gosh. It says occupations. The first one's singer-songwriter. The second one is restaurateur. He's in Sonic. I told you he's in Sonic. Try and stop me. He ran a donut hole shop called the Hole Patrol. No, I'm just kidding. No, not real. Not real. He did not. He did not do that at all.
Yet. There's still time. Have your people call our people.
Post idol career, and it's just a sentence.
You guys just check back later.
You guys remember when we hung out with what's his name in the green room of Windy City Live?
Alfonso Ribeiro? Well,
no.
The guy who dated Ashley Simpson.
Down.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Cabrera?
Ryan Cabrera.
Was that it?
Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah. Dated Ashley Simpson.
He thought he was still a big deal. We asked him to come on the pod. He was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, he was. You know, yeah. He, I'd email back and forth. There was just a timing situation. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, I thought he was just blowing us off.
No.
All right.
He was great. What's
awesome is he's still sang that song, too.
He was apparently in a Lifetime movie last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like as Ryan Cabrera, he was trying to act.
I don't know.
Mm. Interesting. He's not Taylor Hicks in either department, I'll say that.
Both have careers on the way down, though. Wait,
you think Ryan Cabrera is not better looking than Taylor Hicks?
I was kind of joking, but I was talking about singing and acting, not about how they look. I think we all unequivocally can say that Ryan Cabrera looks better than Taylor Hicks. I don't think we're going to get any pushback like you did last week when you dropped that Ryan Pavey looks better looking than, is better looking than Tyler Hines bit that you did. He said that to Tyler Hines, and boy, did he get some pushback. Some people were upset. He's just trying to get in good with Pavey. Although Pavey unequivocally looks better than Tyler Hines.
Guys,
right?
we're just doing a bit. I was just messing with the guy.
Pavey does look better than Tyler Hines. Like unequivocally. The guy is just naturally more good looking than Tyler Hines is.
This is what I'll say.
Hines
gets
not,
it.
Yeah,
man.
You're not. Hines. You're just playing the middle. Just
what do you want what you want me to say?
Be honest.
I am being honest. You know what? Maybe, but there's something, you look into the eyes of the soul.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no. Different story. As soon as you look in the eyes of the soul, Tyler Hines, way better across the board. That's why he can act.
But
that's not what we're talking about here.
I used to think you were a solid 10, Dan, and then I looked into your eyes.
Mm. Had the Pavey effect down to like a 2.
Your eyes.
Do I make you proud?
Coming home.
Do I make you proud? I think he goes a little bit more.
Taking it to the streets.
Taking it to the streets.
We're doing a full Taylor Hicks best of. You know what's crazy is YouTube will flag one of these. Like, that's as close as we've heard. That's gotta be Hicks.
That's as close as we've heard.
They're all there over there, YouTube. Is that Hicks? I think it's Hicks. How did that song go? I think it goes like that.
Yeah, flag it.
Johnny iTunes. Is iTunes a YouTube company?
No, that's Google.
All right, coming home for Christmas.
Originally, we're here already?
Originally aired on November
2017. Benny gets a bonus this month. 2 eps, 1 week, 1 Benny all the time. Benny.
Your name's Benny?
My name's Benny.
I thought you were just in it for the Bennies.
No, that's a different guy. That's Year Guy. He's a full Benny's at the Sizzler.
Wait, you're not
my
a Year Guy?
Benny. No. Come on. Keep it together. My name's Benny. I bought 2017 for $100K. And everything fell apart after that. I did not have the liquid capital to pull off that transaction.
How do you know when to be here? Who tells you?
I get the sketch. Rig sends it over. Benny! Two movies, two bennies, one benny, two movies. Gonna do it all day. Yeah, yeah. This my time, baby. It's my time.
I love his optimism.
What's your purpose here?
I say 2017.
Yes, and then this happens every time.
Yeah, I'm making the most out of it. I got to go back to living my Datsun with my Taylor Hicks cassette tape.
You know Taylor Hicks?
Oh, I make him proud.
You taking it to the streets?
Oh, you know it. That's where I live.
Best Hicks song. What do you got?
It's them taking to the streets is a classic.
And it went a little something like this. Lizzie is jobless and single, which in Hallmark world means she's worthless. Seeing her sister mope around at Christmas. Seeing Lizzie mope around at Christmas, her sister's like, Lizzie, get a job. I got one for you. It's a house manager. That's a fancy name for what she's going to do. She agrees because it's the Ashford Estate and YOLO. She's only there until the house sells, and she meets Robert, who's a big old grumpity grump, and he just wants the sale to happen quick. Lizzie then bumps into Miss Pippa. Miss Pippa. Yeah, Pippa. Stones. She's like the grandma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like standoffish. Like, whatever. I don't have time for this. I miss Pippa. Then a guy named Kip arrives. Kip is riding in a red convertible. So with those two pieces of information, you know he's a piece of trash. he approves of Robert's choice of house manager because he thinks she's pretty. Lizzie's in charge of throwing a gala, which is very different than a party, trust me. She comes up with a theme, and that theme is silver bells. And people are like, whoa!
Silver bells! Silver bells!
What was it?
Benny was blown away. He didn't see it coming.
Did he watch this movie?
I did. I watch them all.
You do?
I do.
No one asked you to do that.
It's above and beyond, Benny!
How do you do it? You don't have a house.
I watch through the window at the Bramble Jam Studios.
Well.
I'll never tell.
You just did. Lizzie and Kip.
Oh, no.
Start to hang out a little bit. Kip starts to like her. They go for a little taste testing situation, and Lizzie goes back to her place, at her room at the estate. Richard's hanging out, and he's like, listen, Kip's a flirt. Can't trust that guy. He drives a convertible. His name's Kip. Again, I don't know. It's just two pieces of information. Later, those two fellas, Robert and Kip, get into quite the roughity raff while stringing popcorn. You guys ever string popcorn?
No.
Never.
Seems awful.
Seems pretty useless. During dinner, Lizzie is asked to join them. And like most people, everyone's like, well, that's weird, huh? But she sits down, she eats, and they start to share family memories. They start to kind of, you know, let their guard down a little bit. Lizzie then realizes that they are more of a standard, normal family. They're not all the worst.
Good.
Kip's being a little real doofus again, and so Robert ended up going with her to cut the Christmas tree down. And boy, he's putting on some winter gear and looking like a real hunk. They go and they find the tree, they cut it down, and Kip shows up again. Kip, you dumb doofus. But he does find the perfect tree. So then there's some other stuff that goes on with the family. Whatever. It's time for the big gala, everybody. The big gala is here.
The big gala's
gala. Everybody's very excited about that. Kip pulls Lizzie aside and is like, hey, I got to tell you something real important. And it's that I want you to travel the world with me. And everyone's like, no one was listening. But if they were, they'd be like, pump the brakes, Kip. And she's like, you know what? No, I think I'm into somebody else. And Robert overhears that. And storms off. But then Lizzie clarifies that. with more information. But Robert leaves there, and she's like, well, I guess this is over. It's time for Christmas Day PJs with Lizzie and the fam. They're having a wonderful time together. And Robert realizes, man, I think I like hanging out with Lizzie. Maybe I should go hang out with her on Christmas Day with her family and interrupt that. So she shows up. He shows up at her house, and she's like, this is so exciting. And she's like, well, here's one thing I can't miss. It's family dinner. And he's like, well, have I got a compromise for you? How about you bring your family to my mansion and we have a family dinner together, both families? And she's like, okay. And that, my friends, was Coming Home for Christmas.
We did it.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this movie.
All right, calm down. Oh, yeah.
Coming Home for Christmas is what we're talking about. 2017 Danica McKellar joint. I'm excited to break this movie down. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start with the guy who I was laying in bed this week. I was like, I wonder what Panda's going to think about this movie. And now the moment's finally here, and I'm very excited about it. Panda, give us that hot take, pal, of Coming Home for Christmas.
I realized about 10 minutes into this movie that I've seen it before.
Wow.
And I was delighted that I got to watch it again because I like this one. This is my favorite Danica McKellar movie, I believe.
More than Crown for Christmas. One of the best royal movies ever made.
I said it's one of my favorites.
So it's not as good as Crown for Christmas?
No, not as good. Okay. But I would say it's her top three. I think this is her top three. I love this movie a lot. There's a lot to love about this movie. She wins over Pippa. You've got the two brothers going for her, man. No holds barred kind of thing. And I like it. They put everything on the line. You've got a lot of money. Big gala. Christmas galore. I'm all in.
It kind of felt like a royal movie, huh?
Yeah, it did. And
it's pretty much a Crown for Christmas, but with a house instead of a girl she's got to watch.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I think that this movie is just delightful. I had a blast
with
it.
Did she make Crown for Christmas in 16 or 15?
16 sounds right.
So she made it the year before. Because this is a carbon copy. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead, Brian. I think 15 sounds right to me. Go ahead, Brian.
For Christmas.
I'll look it up.
2015, you were right. You're just like a sommelier when it comes to Hallmark Christmas movies.
Do what I can.
Titles and dates.
Can I interest you in the 2015 Crown for Christmas?
It's a good vintage.
Give it a good sniff first. Yeah, right. Smells like evergreen. Yes, this movie is that all of what both of you have said. It is a complete, it's a royal movie without the royals. But Danica is quite charming in this movie. And you know, Neil Bledsoe, that's the guy's name. Sad Carousel Boy.
Yeah.
He had a certain, stank to him in this movie that at first I was like, man, this guy's real, stanky. But then like, as the movie went on, I enjoyed him more, and I don't know, and I did think the brotherly tussle, Kip's a real doof.
They couldn't have made him more of a doof.
They couldn't have if they tried. Yeah. And so brothers kind of fighting, Danica being charming, Neil Bledsoe kind of being a little less stanky as the movie goes on. All worked. Big fields, lots of snow, lots of fields, and so thumbs up from Bran. I don't know. Crown for Christmas is still
it's great.
Next level. But yeah, this one's fine.
This movie's not good. I couldn't disagree more. I think Love at the Christmas Table is the best.
Well, yes.
Danica McKellar, which is not Hallmark, but it is Danica and it's Lifetime. And then Crown for Christmas. I don't know where this one falls. The rest of them are kind of blah. I mean, yeah, it's better than Christmas at Dollywood. It's better than Christmas She Wrote. What other one did she do?
She did the one about Montana or something. Christmas at Lodge. Something at Christmas Lodge or something.
Oh, no. That one's better. That one's a better movie than this one.
Is that with Brennan Elliott? Brennan Elliott, yes.
And you got Kevin Arnold's dad from Wonder Years as her dad. Then she runs the camp up there, and I still can't think of the name of it for some reason. That's a better movie than this one.
I take it back. You're no sommelier.
Yeah. So those are the three. Why do I want to say it's a great, it's not a great, Christmas at Grand Valley.
Christmas at Grand
See,
Valley.
I got it. Christmas at Grand Valley with Brendan Elliott is a better movie than this one. So yeah, it's just a classic, like she was an art historian major, then turned into a big boss lady Jeffries, and then got fired, and now she has to play in parties, and it's Crown for Christmas, but without the castle and the girl, and instead it's just a house.
Might as well be a castle. Sell,
and it didn't do much for me. I do think Danica is solid in this, and I feel like of late Danica has kind of started to phone it in my opinion, but I think she does have that same charm that she has in those other movies. I just don't think it's as good a movie. And the two brothers I thought were real bad. I thought the lead guy I think is good, but the other brother, like who always plays the Baxter, like is just overdoing it to the hilt in this movie, and I didn't like it at all.
Think Danica will gag attack?
No.
I don't think any of the big three will. I don't think Danica, CCB, or Lacey will. I think they will all stay put. The money would have to be absurd for them to leave. Because they just
if
have...
If one were to gag attack, which one would?
Danica.
Lacey.
Danica.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any insider knowledge.
The other two just have so many moves. Like, Danica's got a mystery series, but she doesn't seem nearly as entrenched as Lacey and CCB. Like, they have so many movies that air every year, and I'm sure they're getting paid for it.
Danica has a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. Yeah. Like, the other two don't have anything on the other channels.
Danica's and her Lifetime movie is just flat out better than
any of her Lifetime movies before Hallmark.
Yeah.
Before her stint.
But it just goes to show you, she had a life before Hallmark.
Once in a lifetime. She had a lifetime before Hallmark.
You know, what a wonder year that was.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was quite Christmassy, and the snow just was delightful. I don't know if this was real snow or not, but it looked really great on the grounds, if you will, mm-hmm. of this estate. And so I typically don't get like castle feels or whatever, but I did get some estate feels in this aspect because of the snow.
Estate feels. I love the estate
those
feels.
Those are the best kind, right? Never boring, those estate feels.
Dan, any feels for you?
No, sure didn't. But that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
My feels were Panda getting skipped over in the feels, which
that's okay.
I'm trying to get over myself.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay, buddy.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
I'm a little hurt, but it's okay.
We took I'm still, in my mind, I'm still singing all those Taylor Hicks songs that I know.
Yeah, no,
do I make you proud?
Do I make you proud?
Do I make you proud? Yeah.
No, that's good. The fact that the brother up to the very end, normally Hallmark, at least more recent Hallmark, typically one of the brothers bows out a lot sooner.
He never
this
bows
guy,
out.
Like near the end, I mean, he's offering like, go to Europe.
I can show you the world.
I could not believe it. I forgot that happens, and it's a different world because they bow out a lot faster. The Baxter always reveals himself as I'm the secondary,
or I'm a terrible person,
or I'm a terrible person.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen in this movie, and that takes courage. I'm here for it.
Dan,
I had feels with the kiss because Danica gets a really hard time of being a terrible kisser in these movies. And that criticism we see all the time in comments, not just on the Double Decker fan page, Facebook page, but all over anytime we talk about Danica McKellar. And typically that is an accurate criticism. This is a good kiss. This is a good kiss between the two leads. It's maybe the best Danica kiss in a movie that we've seen. And I think I could stand by that statement. Wow. So that was those are my feels.
Love it. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with the wait what and maybe some more.
Okay.
Here on Dyke the Homer.
What was that about?
What?
You like just touched his shoulder. What was that about?
I didn't do that.
You did?
I didn't do that.
Yeah, you did.
Why did you do that?
I wouldn't do that.
Were you trying to get me to not do something?
No.
Or she touched him on the shoulder?
I didn't do that.
Wasn't me. You going to explain it or are you just going to stick with denial?
I didn't do that.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
That's fair.
I didn't do that.
Just keep lying.
At this point, I don't mind it. And maybe it's just where we've been in our friendship. I realized the way that sounded was not the way
it's time
I
for the way what is the part of the show we talk about what in this movie is to go way what
aside from that whole conversation right there. Yeah,
I'm gonna start with my good friend Panda.
She shows up to the house and she says, what is this, about 5,000 square feet?
They're like, oh no, it's 22.
I mean, she's way off. I mean, like, it's not even close.
Samsonite. Maybe there was a, maybe there's like two stories below ground. Because the only thing I could figure on that is anytime you're guessing less than 25%, like it'd be like walking in here and being like, what is this, like 250, 300 square feet? Like, but the only way to miss it is if you can't, like if it's just straight down, which this doesn't look like that.
No.
But I don't think that the place they're filming is 22,000 square feet.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it's bad writing more than anything else.
It's unbelievable. I was just gobsmacked how bad of a projection that was. I had this friend one time who told me there were a million people at a concert, a Skillet concert.
I was just standing in the gap, Promise Keepers. Look, right? There are helicopter shots. Could have been a mill.
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 Easy.
I couldn't see the stage. I couldn't legitimately see. I was watching a screen.
You got to see one of those cool screens, though.
Yeah, that screen.
That's all you needed, though.
It was hot, man.
So cool. For a famous gala, they are planning this one late in the game.
Yeah, boy.
Late in the game.
Yeah. Don't have a theme yet.
Unbelievable. Is Silver Bells really a great idea? I would just submit to you. Maybe
I've given this more thought than I care to admit. Silver Bells is a bad idea. It's a bad theme.
Thoughts.
It's a bad theme.
Well, here's the thing is so many times they go winter wonderland. That's what they do. And it's like, or a snowflake, blah, blah, blah. Silver Bells is not a good theme. And also it is different, but my issue didn't come up with Silver Bells being a good theme until Tilly the grandma says, that's the best idea I've ever heard. Silver Bells.
Silver Bells.
Beyond there just being a bunch of silver bells, where does that theme take
you? It takes a lot of red and green out of the equation.
Yeah, but Winter Wonderland gives you a lot of runway. Polar Express even gives you a lot of runway.
Yeah.
But silver bells, beyond bells. The silver bells,
it's
what do you
classy,
have?
Classy, guys. Polar Express isn't classy. Silver bells are classy.
Have you seen that animation?
Yeah, oh, that's definitely not classy.
Well, speaking of classy decorations and classiness, her decorations for this gala swing wildly between classy and I bought it at Hobby Lobby. It's wild. Like some of the stuff she puts up does
Hobby
not match
Lobby's
this.
Hobby Lobby's not classy. I don't want to.
And I would agree with that. I would suggest to you that that's where the main people shop.
The main people.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
The lady setting the table slides the cup with the silverware and the mat all in one swift move when she sets the table. It is one of the most impressive displays I've ever seen.
Years of wisdom, man.
Yeah.
Like you learn that stuff.
That's skill.
Stays and then with you.
Final thing, the tree they cut down is massive. Massive. It's a big old tree.
22,000 square foot house.
But here's my question. How'd they get it back?
There's three of them.
Yeah, and they're rich.
Between camp.
Tell me they can't. They're rich. And they're built. There's 22,000 square feet. That's a no-brainer.
They're rich.
They can haul a tree back. But, make one call.
Listen, I've always said this. You don't get rich by not being able to carry a big tree in your mansion.
I can tell you right now, and I would project that Dave Ramsey would not be satisfied with the way they're spending the money on that.
Yeah. But
Dave Ramsey's tree transport fund
envelope empty.
No. They didn't need any help there. They went to their backyard and they cut down a tree and then they brought that sucker home. There's three of them. Between Neil Bledsoe and Kip and Danica there for moral support, they can get it. They can get it.
Yeah, that's a big tree.
It's a big tree, but this is big boys.
I just think that getting a tree from their backyard to their home when they're super duper wealthy is just not like an
effective use
of
their time.
No, it's just not hard. It's not hard to do. It's easy to do.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I would say that's tricky.
Silver Bells is a bad theme. Bad theme.
That's all I got.
I got a couple. There's a lot of just benches outside of this estate.
Yes.
There's more benches outside of this estate than any house I've ever seen with benches. Mm. There's a lot of benches. And a lot of places where you can just, if you're walking in the backyard and you just get a little tired, well, don't worry. There's a bench just a couple feet away. At any given time, you can take a seat in one of these here benches.
They do have a lot of benches.
There's a lot of benches.
I noticed that.
There's a lot of benches. And speaking of the benches, I've never met somebody who's more committed to sitting outside in the snow on a bench in a dress than Danica is in this movie.
Unreal.
Yeah. Multiple times, she's like, you know, I'm going to go outside and get cold to me right now. A lot of times she's committed to that. Speaking of things that I've never seen before, I've never seen a movie work in the title or variations of the title into the movie
as this one.
The amount of times that somebody says something along the lines of coming home for Christmas in this movie is astounding.
It has to be a record.
I'm mad that I wasn't counting. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And last but not least, anytime this happens, they had just kissed and then they're combining family Christmas dinners.
Bold.
And like, this isn't just any family dinner. This is, you know, Pippa's over there not doing well. Like him and Kip still on the struggle, but like there's a lot of dynamics happened here.
Lots to digest.
Dano?
I got to know what happened with her other job because she gets fired. She was in charge of people. And they drop this little nugget on you right before she goes to realize her fullest self is a party planner. They say that we got a Christmas bonus on top of our severance package. Now, look. I know a lot of companies out there, and I know a lot of companies that give very generous severance packages. I have never heard of a company that gives a Christmas bonus to fired employees. To fired employees. Because what they're telling you, if they give you a Christmas bonus and fire you, they're telling you this isn't about the money. It's not. This is about your performance at your job. You're bad at it. We had to fire you. Here's some extra money. It's not about the money. You're bad at your job. Just want to let you know. That is some stank. That is one time you don't want money. If you get a Christmas bonus with your severance package, rest assured you are really bad at your job. Really bad at your job. This family that owns a 22,000 square foot mansion may be too uppity for Hobby Lobby, but you know what they're not too uppity for?
What?
Folgers coffee. Believe you me, they are drinking some Folgers, baby. Nothing says upper crust like Folgers crystals. Am I right? That pre-ground, pre-packaged, that's the good stuff. When you're rich, that's the thing, is if I ever get rich, the first thing I'm doing is going to finally get me a cup of Folgers.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this or not,
yeah,
but the best part of waking up isn't your family.
No.
Isn't doing what you love with
a new
life.
Day.
It is Folgers, man, in your cup.
I can only aspire to be that wealthy.
The best part.
I mean, I think one pumpkin cream
of waking up
brew.
From a mini coma is the Folgers in your cup.
One pumpkin cream cold brew, I think, buys you Folgers for a year. Yeah. And I'm not sure about that rate, but I think it's very, it's very close. Very close. Can we just establish for a second that this guy, when he lived at this mansion, his childhood room was a borderline prison cell. Like they make a big deal out about her staying in his room. Then we see the room, and I get they're trying to sell it so there's no pictures on the wall, but it is maybe 8x8. Like it is tiny. There is like no room anywhere. This guy lived in this giant 22,000 square foot mansion, and he had to stay in what could only be like the butler's cabin. Like I just
all of the rooms in the living room.
That's right.
I'm telling you, at the dining hall.
There's so many rooms that would be like, oh my gosh, of course this is his bedroom. No. We put him in like a storage closet. It doesn't make sense. We have seen a lot watching these movies of misunderstandings from the romantic interest, being around the corner, listening, and then walking away too soon. But I got to tell you, this one is not on him. Danica McKellar waits a solid 6 seconds in between "I'd love nothing more than to go to Athens with you" and "but I can't." So she says this, "I'd love nothing more than to go to Athens with you. But I can't." Bro, that is long enough for that dude around the corner to be like, "I get it. I understand. I'm out of here." Why are you pausing?
How long was Paul Campbell's pause?
This one was longer.
Yep, this is a longer pause.
I at weddings every weekend. That was it. This is the longest. Did you have something in your throat? Were you having trouble breathing? I don't know. You've been talking like an adult the whole movie. The whole movie, there's never been a pause.
I'd love to go to Athens with you. But I can't.
I mean, forget the guy around the corner. How about Kip? Kip's like, yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Oh. Back to back, no. Johnny. Back him. She said yes. Mm. No, Johnny.
The next question.
Unpack him.
Unpack him.
Johnny packs.
Johnny was packing. Packing Johnny is what they call him.
He sure did.
Yeah. And another, Kip must be downright awful because the grandma, who has been a curmudgeon all movie, she is pulling for one of her grandsons over the other one. She literally has two grandsons that you would think she loves equally, and she's like easily, understandably pulling for one of them over the other one. I don't know why she has a dog in the fight. At one point, the male lead, Neil, what's his name? Bledsoe. He's playing a game with kids and says, coconut, 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 crack. I've never heard of that. You don't have a coconut crack game?
I've never heard of a coconut
I've never heard
crack.
Of one either. Doesn't make any sense to me. And then lastly, this is the last ball they're ever throwing at this mansion. It's the last one. She has been hired temporarily. This is before she realizes that her dream is to be a party planner, which that happens in this movie, and I'm sorry for everyone involved. She realizes with like 15 minutes left in this movie, that's the thing that's been missing in her life. She wants to be a party planner. Whatever. Good for you. But early in the movie, she's like, I can't afford for the ball to go poorly. Yes, you can. The house is going to be sold. You're not coming back. You're temporary. It literally doesn't matter if the ball is good or not. It just doesn't matter. There is zero pressure on her, and she acts like there's a ton of pressure. That's all I got.
Let's get to the What the Hallmark. It's tomorrow's show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe helping get some clarity questions that we still have. We'll start with my good friend Panda. Panda?
Her sister says, they were talking about, I'm never going to work with you again after that time you threw a pizza at me. Mm. And I mean, we're talking not just a slice, a whole pie. A pizza pie.
Yeah, pizza
that's
pie.
That's a bold.
It's a real in-your-face situation.
That's a real in-your-face situation. And I would love to know what's the story behind. I mean, to provoke me enough to throw a pizza at you.
Yeah, it's got to be bad.
That's got to be bad. I would love to know what happened there.
My biggest one is I still don't feel like we have answers as to what happened to her job. Why? Apparently everyone was let go with severance. And
all of her employees were, and she was the boss of them, and she got let go with a bonus.
With them, with the bonus. And we didn't get any more information. From what it is possible that I missed it, but I don't remember hearing any more information about why the company let go her and everyone under her. I'd love to know that.
Yeah.
Dan?
At one time in this movie, he says, you can never have enough gingerbread houses. Trust me. And I feel like you probably can. And I
trust him.
And I want to know why the trust me was in there, like in the script. Like I want to know how we got that on the page and on the screen. You can never have enough gingerbread houses. Trust me.
I did a foreign exchange program and for months it was, let's build gingerbread houses. Let's fill this room. And let's just see, is there ever too much?
And?
No.
So I can trust you on that.
You can trust me on that.
It's wild.
I've done the work.
You've done the research.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. Yeah, it is time for something I like to call the Double Decker of the Week, where we dive into the story, the life, the legacy of one of our Double Deckers who has signed up for Bringle Champ Plus. Panda, you do such a good job. Dan, who
Sarah Janot. It's either Janet or Janot or Janot. I think I'm going to go with Janot. Sarah Janot.
Panda will
Sarah.
Know.
Yeah, Sarah Janot. Yeah, of that's course. Right.
You know, Janot.
Uh-oh.
Hey-oh.
There you go. That's how the game's played, boys.
We were so good at that.
Go
too.
Ahead, go ahead. Go
okay.
Ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, Sarah Janot, I'm telling you right now, I would like to say she's riding the wave of crushing it, if I had to say
anything.
In what
world
about
is this a wave?
That's a big wave. Big wave. Crushing it, and she started a little thing that's going to be sweeping the nation pretty soon. It's called Petflix.
Okay.
Now, what you would normally think is it's just movies about pets, and that's what I thought originally too. It's better than you could ever imagine. It's actually real movies, but it's pets watching those movies.
So they're filming a pet. Can I tell you what I thought it was going to be? Movies for your pet while you're gone?
Yeah, you would think that. That would be a wonderful idea. Yeah.
We already had that with Pet TV. Is that the Roku app?
Yeah.
And then you said you'd have thought it was movies about pets.
Yeah, like either Air one Bud of them. Yeah, Air Bud or something like
but
that.
What you're saying is they paid for the full copyright of a film.
Right.
To film dogs, cats, whatever, pets.
Yeah.
Watching those movies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This, and I know I've said it before, but I mean it this time. This is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Okay. You say that until you watch a Great Dane watching The Godfather. Okay.
No, I still think that.
No.
I pay monthly.
Do you actually get to watch the movie, or is it just?
You know, I will say that the Godfather is very blurry, and it's a lot of headshot of the Great Dane.
Can you hear the movie?
Can you?
Is it like riff tracks?
Except when he starts barking.
Is it Mystery Science? No, but
so
with
what
the dog?
Sounds like is they've not paid for the rights to the movie.
Well.
Yeah, this is just dogs. It's like when we do the marathon and the movie is like in the background like this big because that's all that's legal.
I don't know, but they have my $30 a month. And
$30 a month. Geno, not on my watch.
Those Great Danes aren't going to pay for themselves.
They're buying the dogs.
They are Great Danes.
But
Great
they're all her pets?
They are Great Danes.
Yeah, I don't think we need to answer any more about that. If you're going to be a skeptic... They're you don't deserve
Danes.
The answers.
Great Danes.
They're great.
Sorry to offend any of them.
If you know, you do know.
We'll be back tomorrow with The Wind Calls the Heart. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off. Whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.